have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Hello, everybody. This is Apostle C. Listen, Apostle Whitlow is not here tonight, so I am going to host the show. I hope you guys are ready. We're going to make marriage meaningful on tonight. I don't do things by myself, not the Apostle Whitlow. So who's on the line tonight?
Hello there, it's Gabriel.
Hello, can you hear us? Hello, can you hear us?
I can hear. You hear us?
I can hear everybody. There was one voice that I did, one name that I didn't catch. Can I know I heard Brother Chuck, the Gabriel. Who else was on the line tonight? Was that it? Go on once? Go on twice? Three times for the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's it. So listen, tonight again, Apostle Whitlow is on assignment. We thank God for him. We'll be praying for his safe arrivals back to Augusta. We'll also be praying that all will be well in the revival that he is hosting. So on tonight, before we begin, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to, I'll tell you what, let me pray first and then we'll go from there. Gracious Father in heaven, we truly thank you now, God, for all things. Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning, oh God, with the activities of our limbs. Father, we thank you for a mindset, oh God, to think on you, oh God, to praise you, to honor you, oh God, and to worship you. But most of all, God, we ask that right now in the name of Jesus, that, Lord God, you will forgive us of every sin, oh God, that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly unto you, oh God. Wash us, purge us, oh God, from all unrighteousness. Cleanse our hands, oh God, and purify our hearts. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen and amen. So listen. Apostle Whitlow had been talking about some things for the past couple of weeks, and I just want to jog you all's memory about some things. There were some seeds that I counted out a few weeks ago, probably maybe a month or more or so. Tonight I want to deal with the CF. I want to deal with communication with finances. Communication with finances. Now, I know that myself, I don't know if Dr. Kimmy is on the line right now, but I know Sister Gabriel, you know, we like to, us women, we like to go, well, let me say it this way, let me retract that. I like to go shopping every now and then, and when I go, I don't keep track of how much money I spend until I look at all my receipts. So being that I'm getting married 21 days from today, how can I communicate that with my husband that I might have a spending problem?
Mm-hmm.
How can I communicate to my husband that, you know, I can be a remorseful shopper? I can see it, don't care how much it is. I get it, and when I get it home, I'm like, man, I shouldn't have spent that kind of money. So, again, now that I'm getting married in 21 days, how do I communicate that with my husband? Who would like to take the mic right quick?
I would. Yes, this is Brother Otis. And I like the title, Communication with Finance. Now, those are two areas that can strengthen a marriage. And those are two areas that can have a very adverse effect on a marriage. And purchasing, making a purchase, that's why the merchants have their products advertised so nice. That is to excite your impulse purchasing senses. Sometimes, and not just sometimes, but we all hear people with jokes most of the time. You go in a place like our favorite store really is Walmart. And for other things, we like the Macy's and the dollar store. So when we go into Walmart, we have a list. And that list would consist of something that maybe would be $40. When we come out of Walmart, we have a bill at the register for about $100-something. And that is that impulse buying. And that that impulse buying is the way that the advertisers make their money, is they just put it in a place where you would see it on your way out, right there at the register. They sell thousands of dollars worth of merchandise while people are waiting in line and just picking things up off the, like sodas and candy, right at the register. So the way we can resolve that is to have the communication before marriage and before this becomes a problem, have a discussion about the budget. Is that, say now, we have light bill, we have this bill, we have that bill, and it comes to this much every month. And if we do that, you know, we would have this amount over. And, you know, some is going to go into savings and checking account and so forth. And this is called uncommitted cash. And that may be $2,200 and hopefully not $20. So when you see how much uncommitted cash that you have, you know, it's not for a light bill, not for the rent, then you can talk about that with your partner about how much you would have, you know, for just when you want to go out shopping. And too often we have something called buyer's remorse. It's once you get it home and take a look at it, you say, I really didn't need another pair of shoes. I have every color, and we haven't been going to church recently, so I really didn't need these shoes. And that's buyer's remorse. And on that, we highly recommend not being reluctant to returning items that you really don't need and sometimes can ill afford. So that's where the communication about finance would come in. Just have a casual talk before it becomes a problem. And that's ongoing, not just a one-time situation. Just talk about money every once in a while, especially before payday, not after the money has been spent. So that's one way I look at it.
To add to that, sometimes it's easier to have just one account that all the household expenses are taken care of through. And then you could have a separate account and your husband could have a separate account. But the two of you all contribute to that household account to make sure that all of the household expenses are taken care of. And as long as you manage that budget and those affairs, things should be pretty smooth as far as, you know, what you spend money on. But you always want to take care of, you know, the necessities if you're the money manager for the house.
Okay. You guys jumped ahead of me a little bit. But now that we've opened that door, is there anybody else that wants to contribute to that communication and finance before I go deeper into the whose money is whose and what account is what? Brother Chuck, where you at?
Here I am.
he's a money man.
Brother Chuck.
Well,
you talking to the money man next.
Well, you know, I have one basic rule that always, he who controls the money makes the rules.
Oh, and that'll be, listen, that won't be me. But see, here's the thing. This is one thing that I do. I stand on this, and I mean this with every fiber in me. My car note is paid. My car insurance is paid. My cellular devices are paid. Health insurance is paid. Whatever I state as my necessities have been paid. Is it okay for me? Okay, I'll say this. I like designer purses. Coach, Michael Kors, Fendi, Dooley & Bird, Gucci, Dior. Is it okay that after I pay my bills, I'm going home on Friday, and my girlfriend calls me and says, "Girl, they got a sale over at the Christian Dior store," and I stop in and I buy a $250 wallet, not knowing that my husband is checking the bank account while I'm swiping the card. So he calls me as I'm walking out of the store. You just spent $250 on one wallet. Now communication has started. Was I wrong for not telling him that I was getting ready to spend that $250?
Okay, this is Brother Otis again. Now that should be part of the communication process would be that if either one of us, and we have a ceiling amount, if any one of us decides to make a purchase over this amount, then let's discuss it with one another before we do that. Now, there's one thing that you did mention. That's a special account called the essential bill account. Is that one should be at the limit that is designated and created by the type of bills that you have, and that one should be the first one that is filled up each month. So you're going to make so many $1,000, $100 for this account, and I will make so much into the essential bill account. After that, if you make a purchase, say over a one item purchase, over $150, let's just discuss it first and not have this impulse buying spree that will go in and, you know, spend all the money just because, you know, we happen to see it on the shelf. And one thing about the about designer items. Now, the designer items, are they being purchased as a collection, or are they being purchased as a need, or are they being purchased as a want? And so that's what takes place, because they're nice, they're going to look good, they come up with different styles. So are we just collecting designers? Are we trying to impress other people, or do we need them, just want it? So you have to take a look at those different situations when making purchases over the amount that what the person and the spouse have decided would be a discussion prior to purchase.
Well, I'm going to say this. I beg to differ. If I work hard and I want to spend $250 on whatever, and I'm being very transparent, I'm going to do it because that's my money. I worked hard for it. As long as our bills are paid and I can transfer the money from one account to another. I mean, that's just like, okay. One of the cars has a flat tire, and the tire is gone that you need to buy a new tire. I'm not going to have time to pick up the phone and call my husband and be like, hey, the tire is gone on the car. Can I buy a new tire? No. If I have the money, even if I have the money in my wallet, I'm gonna get the tire. We'll deal with that part later. I'm on the side of the road with a broke down car. I don't have time to call you and ask you for anything. Now, on the flip side of that, if I work hard and I'm bringing home $2,000 every 2 weeks, and again, our bills are paid, and I decide that I want to use, and I even twist it a little bit. I mistakenly use the wrong debit card to make this purchase, but you see it on the regular debit card instead of using my own. Even if I replace the money back and you see it, we've paid all our bills, the money will go right back in the account. See, I'm still saying there's still other ways that the things can be handled financially even without the communication happening. And what I mean, understand me and hear me well when I'm talking about communication. I'm not talking about we're sitting down and we're having an argument. I'm talking about, can I do this or can I do that? That's not a form of communication. Not in my book.
Well, I think you must have misconstrued what I was saying. You say you disagreed, and I didn't think that without asking. I said that there should be a limit set. And if you are making that kind of money, then you would just have a higher limit. Some people would not have a discussion, and they just go and become spendthrift, and it begin to adversely impact the family budget, you know, the essential bill account. If it doesn't impact the essential bill account, if that's the communication you have, say anything over that, just help yourself and that type of communication. And also, I wanted you to notice something that, this is what happens in situation. Notice the hostility in your voice when you say, I'm not going to ask anybody anything. You're talking about the person you want to love, get along with, and be together with for the rest of your life. And even just with talking about the person, no, I'm not going to ask him anything. That is just a little bit less than what we would call loving. And you want to always get along, you know, with your spouse. I want to get along with my spouse, no arguing. And we have a situation with the purchasing is we have an account, a joint account, that we take the bills from. Anything else that we're out shopping, again, say we're up in Walmart shopping, and I said, okay, baby, I'm going to look over here, and you go over there, and if there's anything that you see that you like, just get it. And so that's our communication. And so anything that she wants, she'll put in her basket, and we'll meet again at the counter, and there's no discussion about what you have or how much it costs when we go through the register, because all the essentials are already taken care of. And so that it's no problem. It doesn't create a problem or a lack of anywhere in the budget, and it does a whole lot for harmony in the relationship. And that is something we both like. We both like harmony. We both like contentment and no arguments.
Okay. Now, of course, yes. I look at the fact that, again, if If I deposit, okay, let's do this. There's no budget being set in the household. And when I say no budget being set, what I'm saying is if everything is paid for and we have the money to splurge and we've already established that, the community, I still should not have to tell you, excuse me, what I spent that $250 on. If there is, from what I'm understanding, you're saying, Brother Otis, if there is a budget that's set and I go and spend $250 when I went over the budget, then yes, the communication needs to be had. Absolutely. Because anything can happen between the time I get off work, the time on a Friday evening, a Saturday morning. Anything can happen where that same $250 can go towards. I agree with that. But if nothing, God forbid, anything was to happen and I decide that this is something that I want, then why can't I spend the money?
Okay.
I explained that I took it from the wrong account, and I go and put the money back in the account because it should have been out of my personal account. Should there be a conversation had then?
No, as long as spending money does not cause a problem, but if the communication and finance because the problem is when there's no communication about the spending and about the finance, and it causes a problem that is going to be detrimental to your credit. And there's some, if they're spending money unscheduled, just based on the impulse that a person does, just because, oh, I just want that, then it's going to be a problem if you're going to come up short somewhere else. Now, if we are so blessed that we do not have to even be concerned about the about being under budgeted, then whatever you see, if that's what we work for, is to have life and more abundantly, whatever you see, whatever you like, if you can afford it, you get it if it makes you happy. And that's what I was saying about when I go shopping with my wife. And, you know, we have worked hard for a long time. And, you know, we do the stock market and had savings. So we don't worry about that. But there, as far as the topic for tonight, finance and communication, most people don't have it, just like you were mentioning. And if you don't have that, then the essential bill account should always be ready before you begin to spend something and say, well, maybe I can do this and transfer that and hope that the bill doesn't come in. What day is it due? What day do you have to pay it before they start charging, late charge? If you have that kind of discussion, then it's time to have a serious communication about the budget.
Now, for the record, I need for you guys to know that I'm not a spender like that. I don't look. I already don't. I was looking at, I'm driving a 2022, and I have what you call low-profile tires on my car. And don't laugh at me when I say this, but I had two nails in my tires. I was not going to pay $250 for a brand-new tire. So I went down to the tire shop and had them patch it from the inside. Now, this happened twice in 1 week.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was determined I was not going to buy, twice in 1 week, I was not going to buy new tires because, again, low-profile tires will run you, I think the cheapest this guy said was $250. I was not going to do that. So with that being, I don't like to spend unnecessary money. Now, when I have it, I'll do that, but if I don't, my first priority is, and again, this for the record, I don't spend money like that. I really don't. Because I believe my mother had always taught me, you have to save something for a rainy day. You never know what'll happen. You never know what'll happen. I got my brand new car. I didn't have to put any money down. But I'm driving a 2022 on December 31st. As a matter of fact, it was before December 31st. But be that as it may, communication and finances plays a major part in every marriage. I told my fiance, he asked me some questions. What do you think will be a concern? I said finances. Finances is the number one breakup in marriages. Number two was communication. I said, well, if finances are number one and communication is number two, I think everybody should have this conversation before they get married. What are yours like? What is your credit score? Do you pay your bills on time? Do you things of that nature? How much money do you have saved in your savings account? Do you have additional banking accounts? I have several bank accounts. I have cushions. I don't go out and spend my. I have a health savings plan with my job that whenever they take out money for you all know what a health savings account is. Whenever I pay my health insurance, money goes towards my health savings. So if I have a copay, it pays for that. I'm on medication. My medication will run me almost $100 a month. I can swipe my health savings card. So it pays for that. So these conversations need to be had before you get married, while you're married, and continue on. Because at the end of the day, we know that gas went up, and now gas is going down. Now groceries are going up. So if you don't have that cushion, if you don't make a budget even for $250 for two people, sometimes that's still not enough. So you're running out spending money that can be put back in your household. That's still a conversation. I think you still need to have a conversation. I would never go and use a credit card that has my husband's name on it, and I'm on the account as well without him knowing about it. Why? Because he could have been saving for us a trip, and I don't went and spent the money, or vice versa. So y'all tell me, what do you guys think the number one issue for marriages?
Now,
well,
this
you know,
time.
You know, the stats, you know, show that all the time from the people in the social sciences, you know, the social workers and the psychologists and the marriage counselors, is that the percentage of marriages and people getting divorced is still up close to 50%. And the reasons is, of course, communication is going to be something that it's like a big umbrella. It's like with communication. But then the infidelity and finances, that is always close to the top, moving back and forth. But if that someone said that a romance without finance doesn't stand a chance. So, you know, we have that love thing up front. But if we're going to start talking about, you know, being permanent with a person, then we need to talk about finances and fidelity and some things that we're going to talk about. I believe in proactive approach. And let's talk about these things before they become a problem. And not saying, hey, why'd you spend this $600? And now you got to say, well, that's my money. Uh-oh, now we have a problem. If you just have that during FaceTime, just while you're sitting around having dinner, watching TV, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I think a peaceful conversation is to be more controlled. But then you start, you know, the eyes begin to squint up and the voice raised 4 or 5 decibels. That's the beginning of a problem.
How does your husband or your fiance feel about spending? Is he a spendthrift or does he spend things on maybe his car or he loves jewelry or clothes?
He's more like me. He doesn't spend unnecessary money. And the good thing about that is we pay for our wedding ourselves, but we're down now to I think $975 left on the wedding, and the wedding is in 3 weeks. So I think that's pretty good when the man told me that I had these nails in the top, hey, pass that up. I got things to do. So when you have other obligations, even I'm in Atlanta, so I know some people, but I don't know a lot of people. I don't believe in eating out for lunch every day. I don't believe in eating out for dinner every day. I would rather cook. I would rather cook so I'll have enough to tie me over to lunch and then come back home and eat again. I just don't believe in spending money like that. I just don't. Now, on a Sunday, you know, after church or after church, yes, we can go out to dinner then. But I'm a firm believer that I can cook. I would rather cook.
And I'm sure he enjoys that too, just having a meal with you.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. We can sit down with that, you know, because, and then I told him, I said, one thing that I've learned being an adult is having, and it's not a script of me having, these multiple bank accounts. The reason why I have different bank accounts, again, for a cushion. And sometimes I'll hide my debit card so that I won't touch that money. If I it's like an emergency. If I need it, I'll go to it. If I need this, I'll go to it. It's a sad case to have so many bank accounts, but you got to go borrow some money from somebody.
Yes, it is. Another thing with the communication, you know, don't wait until a question comes up about how much you spend. When you buy a new purse, show it to your husband. Let him see it, you know. And, you know, don't buy things and, you know, hide it from him. And then maybe it comes up later. Well, what was this amount that was spent? What did you buy? Then, you know, the purse becomes a source of irritation. So I think that would help with communication too, you know, just talk about things in peacetime and, you know, share everything. It may not seem like a big thing, but I mean, just have an open communication where you can talk about anything together makes a real improvement in the relationship.
Okay. Something that Brother Otis said to me, and I laugh, but I'm sitting here thinking about that now. He said, and I might say it wrong, with no finance, there is no romance, and the man don't stand a chance. So,
yeah.
Looking on the flip side of that, Brother Chuck, how do you feel about your wife having multiple bank accounts, and you only know about me?
My wife basically budgetary constraints and her purchasing habits were far below my capabilities of supporting. So when she thought that she was really going outside and spending a lot of money, I didn't tell her that was, as far as I was concerned, was relatively insignificant because I never let her become too aware of, you know, how much money I made doing what I did. So I never put constraints on her because I had noticed during our courtship where her buying habits were like, and I didn't encourage her to, you know, exceed those. So I just tried to make sure that she was comfortable spending what she had become used to spending. She, when we got married, she was teaching and earning her own money. With all due respect, I consider what she was earning relatively insignificant, but by the same token, it was her job and what she made. But when we got married and then she decided, you know, that she wanted this and she wanted that. It was based on what she had been earning and spending her own money for. So basically, I was pretty much supplementing and adding to that, which brought about a certain level of comfort. So, but as we spent more time together and she saw me spending more money than she thought I had, then that began to become a little, her ideas and expansion grew. So she began to spend a little bit more money because one of the things I noticed when we were dating and courting as to what her preferences and choices were, I was making judgment decisions based on that. When we went shopping for clothing, food, I went to the theater, whatever we did, I watched her spending habits. And it was those spending habits that I felt comfortable with and knew that I could supplement and implement.
Now, I must say that when if I do go shopping for clothes, I will go to the clearance at first. And the reason why I did that was because the majority of the stuff that's on the clearance rack, nobody really wanted, and it was my pocket. So I can hit the clearance rack and spend $100 on about 5 or 6 outfits. And some of the stuff that I would put together, you know, it would be, people would be like, well, why would you put that together? Or why did you do that? I'm a thrifter. I look for the cheapest, if it was in Macy's today, four pair for $24. I was trying to get 6 for $24. I didn't want to spend $24. And that was with taxes.
Yeah.
So here I was walking around the store trying to find socks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I could have got 10 pair for $24, let me have them.
Mm-hmm.
I look for deals like that. So I too believe that he's when it comes to finances, I do believe that he's going to be he will be definitely in control with that. And again, I was honest enough to tell him that I have different bank accounts because to run out. Being a single parent at one time, and when I tell y'all, my boys, Lord have mercy, they ate when they was coming up from the age of 5 all the way to, as a matter of fact, my baby just turned 20 today. But the boys can eat and they play sports. And I never wanted to run out of anything for them. So when I started opening up bank accounts, I would put $10 here and $20 there and another $5 there. The money started building up. So if I had a situation, if they needed cleats or uniform for something, I had the money sitting there. I was never the person that liked to go to people and ask them, well, can I borrow such for such their payday? That's embarrassing when you have a job. That's embarrassing when you have multiple accounts that you should have money in. I can hear a voice in my head, save for a rainy day because you never know what will happen. Was there anybody else out there that was like that, that you just did not want to ask anybody to borrow money knowing that 2 more weeks until you get paid again, but you don't work and you just spent all your money on bills?
Well, that's a very good practice to have your own. Yeah,
yeah, right. I agree that that shows a serious lack of budgeting. I feel that there may be emergencies that come up where you may have to seek outside sourcing, but I think that, you know, you should spend according to your earnings. And that's
right.
Not use credit as a means of primary support.
I don't even have credit cards, Brother Chuck, and I'm being real with you. I don't have credit cards. I've had my share of credit cards. I haven't had a credit card. I'm 51. I haven't had a credit card now about 4 or 5 years. And the only reason why is because if you don't have it, you don't spend it. Yeah, with a credit card, you can charge now and pay later. Yeah, you sure can. But those interest rates will get you.
The interest rates only bother you based on your paying habits. If your credit, if you use the credit on a 30-day basis, the interest rate aren't that bad. But now if you buy $1,000 worth of material and then you take 6 months to pay for it, it's going to probably cost you about $1,200 as a result rather than the $1,000. So,
see, this is why I took that credit card. If I can't swipe it, I don't need it. I straight out of my bank account. I don't have, and I'm happy that we're having this conversation. I don't have, now, the one thing that, and again, y'all, please don't laugh at me and please don't judge me. I don't like what is that, auto pay? I don't like auto pay. I don't like for anybody to go into my bank account and take anything out of my account.
Okay.
So what do you do right there?
I would encourage you not to use that because that basically puts you out of control of your own resources.
Right. And that's why I don't use it. I don't like auto pay. I think Brother Otis and Sister Otis was about to ask what. The reason why I don't do auto pay is because my pay period is different. I'm sort of like the service. I get paid on the 15th. I get paid on the 31st. So some months don't have the 31st on, and some 15th may fall on the Sunday or Saturday. So if my bill is due on the 15th and on the 13th, I've already paid another bill on the 13th, and then on the 15th, when the other bill get ready to come out, I'm looking crazy because, wait a minute, I just paid this bill on the 13th. And a lot of these merchants, they don't want to give you your money back. They'll carry it over to the following month. So I don't do the auto pay. I can, but I have chosen not to. I can do the auto pay with my cell phone and with my car insurance. I just choose, as a matter of fact, my car payment as well. I just choose not to do that. I'm like, Brother Chuck, you have access to my bank account. Suppose somebody's working there and they're a thief. My bank account information is on the system, and they can go, they can start taking you. Okay, nobody's gonna miss $20, but you'll start missing $50, $100. No. No. Pay my bills as I get paid.
Now, you just said something real critical and important there as it relates to someone tacking your account or tapping your account for $50, $100, you know, something small and apparently seemingly insignificant. And this can be a person that, you know, knows your account, especially from a banking or lending institution, where you may have your money. And unless you reconcile your bank account each month, you will not recognize it. And I was serving as basically in a capacity for a company and an organization. And they had lost a considerable, well, they had been exposed. Well, no, they had lost a considerable amount of money because they were not carefully reconciling their bank account each month. And that's one of the things, as a result of this discussion, I would encourage you, if you have bank accounts, that you reconcile them each month, because thieves have a way of sneaking in to see if you are really picking them up, and they start with something small like $100, $50, or what have you. And the next thing you know, if you don't think you discover it, it will go up. It will continuously go up, and I've seen it go up considerably. And I say that based on the my experience as a banker and as a trustee for my church. So those are the two methods that people use. One of them is not reconciling their accounts each month, and the other one is having someone just touch your account for small amounts to see the effects of it.
Now, see, I never thought about it that way. I only use credit. I don't deal with banks. So that give I do get my statements every month, and I look at my, I keep an eye on my bank account. But that, thank you, Brother Chuck. Go ahead, Brother Otis, before we finish out tonight.
Okay, I'm glad. I wanted to get this in before
Let me just say this, because I heard of what you said, and that is basically, you said you do not reconcile your bank account, but what about your credit card account or whatever?
I don't have any credit card.
Oh, to God be the glory. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brother.
I'm sorry.
No, I wanted to make you aware that this was a well-selected topic for tonight, especially with Brother Chuck on. You know, we haven't met one another. We don't know each other's background, but Chuck said it, but he said it kind of lightly, is he was the president, CEO, founder of a credit union. So he wasn't just had money in the bank. He was the bank. And so this is an unusual. Yes. He owned the credit union. And so that's why, you know, some of the, yeah, some of the information that's been given out is really helpful to everybody about taking a look at the small amounts that may be disappearing from your account. That could be a test. But another thing that we discovered, that by not having all your money in one account, it helps if someone does find a way to get into your account. And we had a relative and friends, if they will go into an account and take out as much as they can, but if all your money is not in there, you know, it wouldn't cause you to be completely devastated with all your money being gone. So now having, you know, multiple accounts, a saving account, a private account, a joint account, is as long as it's manageable for you, it can also save you, you know, from being hacked and taking all your money out. But we do have an expert on the line tonight, so I'm listening to some of the advice, and which is highly recommended.
Well, man, look at Brother Chuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, thank you, Brother Otis, for allowing me to share that topic. But it's been on my heart and on my mind because, again, you know, in 3 weeks I'll be saying I do, and I don't want him to say I don't, because we have no control over our finances. Because I want the romance with the finances. Got to have
right.
that. And I want him to stand a chance.
Yeah, people talk about that, oh, love will conquer all, yeah, but it doesn't pay any bills. So, you know, we all strongly subscribe to the notion that a, you know, romance without finance does not stand a chance. And that's what the social scientists will tell you also. If you don't have any money, you should be trying to make some more, you know, get another job, work part-time, because you're going to need money when you combine your living expenses and moving together, and then moving together produces children. And like you said about your boys, you know, you want them to have whatever they were supposed to have. And it's our responsibility to take care of them.
Well, coming from a banker's credit union standpoint, one of the things that I have always encouraged our depositors to do is to reconcile their statements each month. Many people do not. They just get the statements, and as long as they got checks, they feel they got money in the bank. But sometimes the way hackers and the way people that attack your accounts will do, they will start off with small amounts of, you know, $100 here, $50, $25, or what have you. And if there's no repercussions associated with that, then it will be increased. And I've seen it go up as far as thousands of dollars from people that were not reconciling their accounts. So when they brought it, you know, to my banker, to the credit union, and said, I knew that I had money, and yet I took their statements and I looked at them and I said, well, you have this year from Lane, oh, and I can't use that term, but I did use it. I'll say it again. This little lady was very small in stature, but she had been making large purchases from Lane Bryant. Now, many of you may or may not know about Lane Bryant, but they have sizes that go above 6 and 8. So
right.
She was 6 and 8 size, and Lane Bryant was selling her, you know, the super sizes. I said, you don't have any of them. And plus the fact she had also had some charges from Firestone, and she didn't even have a car. So all of this is basically the first thing that we should always do is reconcile that statement that comes from your bank or your credit union each month, making sure that you recognize the charges, because one of the other things that sneaks in and it tends to erode your account is certain charges that they may have for services that they provide for you. So it's basically, I can't emphasize it more than reconciling your statements each month to make sure that the statement agrees with your bank account, with your credit, I mean your checking account. And I dropped the mic.
All right.
That's awesome. Because I don't want anybody going into my bank account taking nothing out.
Okay. That's a good idea. But how would you be able to determine whether they did or did not?
Well, I honestly, I have the app on my phone. So every time I use my card, I go in and I check my account. And if my laptop is up, I can check my account through my laptop. Now, one thing about Brother Chug, and I'm very serious about this, I don't connect to free Wi-Fi. If I'm not at home using Wi-Fi, I won't check my account.
Good. That's good.
And I've come to the habit of that because I've seen that happen before. Now, about 5 years ago now, I use my debit card at the gas pump. And some kind of way they got the information. They were in Louisiana. They were somewhere else, and they said I was in China. So the bank called me and said, well, we got some unfamiliar charges on your debit card. I said, well, I just used my debit card to get gas. And the lady was like, well, I know you're not in Louisiana. No, ma'am, I'm in Tallahassee. So we've got to put a hold on your account. So the smallest places where you can use your debit card, trust me, indeed, they can get you. I'm very peculiar about where I use my debit card, how I use my debit card. Sometimes I don't know how true it is. I don't know if you're supposed to enter in your PIN or use it as a credit card. Some people say using your debit card as a credit card will allow people to still take money out of your account because they don't have your secret PIN. Some people say entering in your PIN will also give them access to it. I don't know. Can you quickly tell us which one is factual and which one is just...
I discourage debit cards. I discourage debit cards, because that provides direct access to your account and at your bank or at your lending institution, wherever it is. If you're going to use a card, I suggest credit cards rather than debit cards, because debit cards pull money directly out of your account. And the insurance somewhat different.
Well, I would like to add one thing.
Go ahead, Brother Otis.
I would like to add one thing about credit cards is my wife and I use credit cards, but we pay no interest. Not only is we don't pay any interest, is for the once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Once a year, we get a statement from the bank where we have our credit card, and that statement sometimes is a check for $200 and $300. They pay us interest to use their credit card. And I heard Chuck allude to that a few minutes ago, is we use our credit card on a 30-day basis. We use it at the end of every month. We pay the bill, and there's no interest. Not only no interest, they will pay us interest. And most people are not aware of that. There are credit cards that will pay you to use that credit card if you pay the bill at the end of every month.
Okay. Well, everybody, the time has come, and the voice of Apostle Whitlow, we're not out of talk. We're just out of time. So, yeah, I enjoyed these conversations on tonight. It hit home, because these are conversations that everybody needs to have. Doesn't matter if you've been married for 5 years. Doesn't matter if you've been married for 2 months. Everybody needs to have the conversation. Everyone. Because you want to know what your finances are. You want to know what's going on with your finances. So with that being said, guys, I'm going to go ahead and end the show on tonight. Apostle Whitlow will be back on next Saturday. Please keep him lifted up in prayer again as he travels back to Augusta, I believe Sunday night or Monday night, one of the two, I'm not sure. But let's keep him lifted up in prayer. Those who are normally on the show that were not on the show, let's pray for them as well. I didn't hear Reverend Billy on tonight, so I pray all is well with him. And if that being said, and that is all, you know, I thank y'all so much. I think I'm ready now to go ahead and take this step. I'm ready to jump this broom, as the old folks would say. we're going to talk about the finances, because I want some romance with my finances.
All right.
And I want
thank you so much for tonight's session.
When you jump that broom, don't leave it laying there. Pick it up so that you can sweep out the problems that you may encounter along the way.
Come on, sir. Yeah. But I thought about something I just said. I don't want to give if I give him some honey, he pay me, that means I'm a prostitute. And I'm not a prostitute. Is that what it means? I don't know. Be that as it may, y'all, thank y'all so much for joining Making Marriage Meaningful on tonight. We talked about communication and finances. So listen, if you cannot talk about finances, something's wrong. If the communication is off, if you get upset about the finances and all that other kind of stuff that should not be happening, don't be having buyer's remorse like I used to. You get that product home, and then you sit there and look at it and be all twisted up and crying, and now you got 10 days of returning, and you on the ninth day already. You should have never bought it. So I tell everybody, think before you spend, and before you spend, make sure you got it in your bank account, because I can't loan you no money. I'm not a bank. So everybody have a good evening. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in to Making Marriage Meaningful. We will see you. Well, I won't see y'all. I'll talk to you guys on next Saturday, and then y'all next Saturday I have 2 weeks, so if I got cold feet, I better put some socks on, huh?
That's right.
Amen. Come on in. The water is fine. Come on in. Come on in. The water is fine.
Listen, come on I'm in. Gonna, I wish you guys could be there. Unfortunately, it is an unplugged ceremony. There will be no Facebook Lives, no TikToks, no Instagrams, none of that. None of that stuff. We got a photographer that, hopefully. Yeah. But if you guys want to, look, if you feel like you want to just make a donation, let me know. I'll send you my cash app because, yeah. I'm trying to go on a nice honeymoon because I need it, and I'm sure he going to need it too. So we'll talk to you guys on next Saturday. Again, guys, enjoy the rest of your evening. And if the Lord says the same, we're going to do this thing again next weekend. All right?
All right.
Good night.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Dr. Kimmy Kim, if you're on the line, you go ahead and drop that track.
Of God.